Greetings in Christ's name again this evening. I'd have loved if I could have sat right there and left Sim just keep right on. I do want to thank y'all for what y'all have done for us this weekend. It's been a pleasure getting to know y'all. Y'all make me miss the South like you don't know. Ain't nothing like good old Southern hospitality. I'm telling you. Keep it up. My title is The Lake of Fire, The Realities of Hell. Jesus spoke three times more about hell than about heaven. There's a reason. There's a reason. He don't want any of us there. Hebrews 10:31 says, "It is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God." God is a holy God. He's a righteous God. He's not going to tolerate any sin whatsoever. None. He wants pure, full devotion of your life. If you ain't right with God tonight, if you're right with God tonight, this message should be an encouragement to you. It should make you want to serve this one and only God faithfully. But if you're not right with God tonight, if you have sin in your life and you haven't repented, it should shake you to the core of your heart. It should make you very uncomfortable. And I'm not going to apologize for that. This is serious. There's two destinations, heaven and hell. And you will be in one or the other after this life. Even the ancient Egyptians, they built these great pyramids, tombs. They stocked them with food. They stocked them with supplies for the use in the afterlife. In their pagan culture, in their pagan religion, in their pagan idolatry, they knew that there was something after this life. Matter of fact, life begins after this life in terms of time. After this life is forever. 100 years is nothing. 1,000,000 years is nothing. That's why it's so serious. When this life ends, your opportunity is over. It's gone forever. Eternity is huge. We can't even grasp eternity in our little human minds. Time is the deepest mystery to mankind. You can't create it. You can't speed it up. You can't slow it down. You can't control it. And yet you're controlled by it. Time is defined as a measurement. We can manage what time we have to a degree, but we still cannot fully understand time. Because it's here and then it's gone. And you can't call it. Sim talked about Monday. You can't call it back. What you've seen is gone. Life is a precious gift. Because life is the only time you have a chance to make changes that affect your eternal destination. Your soul will live forever. Life ain't over after death. Christ's resurrection is foolproof. The dead will live again. And I want to read some verses on that just as a foundation to this message. Turn to 1 Corinthians 15. I want to read from 11 to 26 just as a foundation. Foolproof. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 11. Therefore, whether it be I or they, so we preach, and so ye believe. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. Ye are yet in your sins. And we sang that song that talked about that. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man cometh death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all died, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, after they that are Christ that is coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet, and the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Foolproof. Verse 52 in the same chapter. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. You will be changed. That change will be a body that won't die. The Bible talks about death. A lot of times, it's the transition from earthly life to the next life. That's when time will be forever. Heaven or hell will be your destination, whether you like it or not. God don't just explain hell in one verse in the Bible. He gives us word pictures to help us understand that we don't want to go there. Hell is a fact of truth. I want to look at some scriptures on hell. What kind of place it is. Turn with me to, I'll just read this from Matthew 25:41. Then shall he come also unto them on the left hand. Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. God prepared hell for the devil and his angels. That's enough to make every one of us want to stay away from it. Everlasting fire that can't be quenched. To go with a body that will never burn up. Revelation 20:10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and false prophets are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. The devil and the beast, the false prophets, the lake of fire. I can't imagine. You ever get close to a small fire? Much less a lake of fire? I looked up brimstone. It said it's sulfur, a rock, melted rock, so hot it's like a volcano. Think about it. If you're lowered in a volcano, boiling and sizzling, and not burn up. Revelation 19, cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. You will be alive and you will feel it. You will have feeling in hell. Revelation 14:11. And the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever, and they had no rest day or night. You will be burning. You will be smoking. You will be in pain. You will want to die, and you can't. People on earth here, when they're in pain, sometimes it's so much pain they want to die. You can't go sleep it off. It says there will be no rest day or night. You can't take Tylenol. You can't take a bottle of Advil to hell with you to relieve the pain. You will not sleep it off. I believe this culture has absolutely wrecked us. We say, you can't tell me what to do. Leave me alone. It's my right. What rights does a Christian have? Does a Christian have rights? I'll tell you what right you have. You'll have a right of heaven or hell. Will be your right. It'll be your destiny, and you will pick which one you end up in. It's your choice. We don't even know how to suffer in our culture. It's wrecked us. This culture is like poison to the Christian. And I know you can't help what culture you're born in, but you can help how it affects you and your life. This culture says, I get what's mine. I don't need you telling me what to do. Sometimes we think we just don't need each other. Or we think that it's not fair. Is the Christian life fair? Bible says Christians go the extra mile. Is that fair? Our culture says blame somebody else when I fail. I'm not responsible. Or they say, everybody else is doing it. So can I. That justifies me. God forbid. Look what Adam did. Second sin. And he blamed Eve. And Eve blamed the serpent. Did that get him off the hook? What did God say? He said it was your choice. You made the choice. Brothers and sisters, it's going to be the same on Judgment Day. Brother Sim said, what are you going to say when you see Jesus? About went like that when he said it. Because that's probably how fast I'm going to follow my face. Because I'm going to be so unworthy. Just because you're born Mennonite, just because you're in the church, just because you dress right, just because you look right, is not going to take you to heaven. Matter of fact, if you don't repent, it'll take you to hell. If you don't believe and you don't live the whole Bible, you will go to hell. It's a fact. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin, James 4 says. You won't escape. There's a man, I think it was in Pennsylvania, I can't remember which state. He had a farm and he had a big cliff on that farm and it leaned like this. And he said, when I die, bury me under that cliff. He said, when the Lord comes back, that cliff is going to fall down. And then I won't have to see his face. You want to know something that's really amazing? Today, that cliff is moving. Who made the cliff anyway? It's terrible to think about. You are responsible for your wrongs. You can do all the good deeds you want in this life, but if it ain't for Christ and his kingdom and under his blood, you will hear the saddest words you ever heard. I never knew you. Depart from me, you wicked servant. That will be the saddest thing you ever heard. Luke 16:15, Jesus said, "Ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God." Where is your heart this evening? It will make a difference in your destination. There's also another man, and I read this account, and I couldn't find it. I don't know which state it was in, but he died. And he willed his farm to the devil. And it went to the courts, and the court said, "What are we supposed to do with this? Willed it to the devil." You know what they decided? Don't do nothing. Let it fall down. Let it grow up in briars. It'll be good for nothing. I'm going to tell you something. If that man could come back today, he would take a bulldozer. He would clean off that farm. He would build a church house. And he would pull men out of the fire. Serious. Turn with me to Luke 16. Verse 19-31. Luke 16:19-31. There was a certain rich man was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus who was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table, more of the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And a rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and he seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." But Abraham said, "Son, remember thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence." Then he said, "I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment." Abraham saith unto him, "They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them." And he said, "Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent." And he said unto him, "If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead." You'll have five senses in hell. Maybe more. That's what I get out of this passage. It says he lifted up his eyes in torments. That's plural. He could see into heaven, but he couldn't go there. Imagine seeing the bliss forever and ever and can't go there because there's a great gulf fixed and you threw away your opportunity. His eyes cried and wept. Matthew 24:51, there shall be weeping. You will be able to cry in heaven, but them tears will not cool your tongue. They will become dry. It's going to be so hot for they ever reach your mouth. In this world, when we cry, it brings healing. It brings releases. There's something that the Lord has put in us that we can cry to him, and it releases our healing, releases our burdens of pain. But this weeping will never bring healing. It'll never replace, because Christ will not be there. Christ is the one that brings healing. You won't turn to anybody for comfort. I've heard people say, "I want to go there. That's where my friends will be." But I'm telling you, your friends might be there, but they will not be friends in hell. There will be nobody to comfort you. The pain will be unbearable. You will have taste. It says one drop of water. Just dip the tip of your finger to cool my tongue. You have teeth, it says. Gnashing of teeth. Others biting you. You will have pain and lots of it. And remember, no painkiller. No sleeping it off. You will have hearing. It says there will be wailing. The devil is going to be bound, it says, with chains. That is a clinking, a wailing, an unbearable ringing in your ears. And you will not have earbuds. And you will not have earplugs. You will not stop it from ringing in your head. You have feeling. And smoke ascended up. I believe you're going to have smell. You're going to smell the smell of a body burning that won't burn up. And here's the worst of all. It says in verse 25, Son, remember. Son, remember. You will have memory. You will cry, and you will cry with a broken heart, but you can't go back. You will remember all the opportunities you had, and you rejected Him because you wanted to live for the things of this world, for self. You wanted the pleasures of life for a season. Hell is so bad you won't want anyone else there. He said, send someone back to my brothers. They will listen. If it's somebody returning from the dead, what did God say? We read it. You have Moses and the prophets. Brothers and sisters, that is the word of God. Today we have it. What will it take for you to repent if there's sin in your life? The dead coming back to life? Hell is a bottomless pit. Revelations 9:2 says, and he opened the bottomless pit, and there rose a smoke out of it, the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace. You will feel you are fallen, and you are fallen, and there is no bottom, and it is dark. Brothers and sisters, people bungee jump. They skydive for adrenaline rush. There will be no adrenaline rush in hell. There will be no thrill in hell. God ain't there, so there will be no light. And you will be fallen. And the fire will be black. What a terrible place. Turn me to Daniel 5. Verses here. Excuse me. Daniel 5, 4 to 6. I'm just picking out a little bit here. You know this story well about Belshazzar. Daniel 5. Verse 4. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver and of brass, of iron and of wood and stone. And the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosened and his knees smote one against the other. Verse 22. This is Daniel talking to Belshazzar. He said, and thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this. talking about what happened to Nebuchadnezzar. But has lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of this house before thee. I'll stop there. Verse 26. This is the interpretation of the thing. Meaning, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tickle. Thou art weighed in a balance and found wanting. Verse 30. And that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. I'm going to share a story with you tonight. My brother would want me to share this story with you tonight if he was here. I was 18. He was 22. Neighbor came over and bought a big dual tractor tire from Daddy. And as a neighborly deed, we said, well, we ain't got much going on. Let's go help him put it on. Tire was laying on the ground. When we got there, we'd rode over in a blue and white Jimmy. I'll never forget it. Some reason in that Jimmy, when we were headed over there, he wasn't interested in religion. I wasn't interested in religion, shame on me. He had went to a nationwide church for about a year and a half. Married a town girl, was divorced, living with somebody else. And we were riding over in that Jimmy. We had a lot of memories in that Jimmy. And we got talking about religion. I don't know why. That tire was laying on the ground and we were putting air in it. He just so happened he picked the chuck up. And he sat on the tire. The tire was behind him and he had the chuck in it. And we put air in that tire and we put air in that tire. We weren't tire folks. We didn't know to soap it. We had about a foot to pop on that bead. Big compressor in the shop running. I have no idea how much air we put in that tire. But all of a sudden, boom! Everything disappeared in front of me. Dust. All of a sudden, a tire come down, bam-a-lam, with the rim in front of me. And I look up, and my brother's doing this in the air as high as a telephone pole. And the first thing that went through my mind is, go catch him. He's going to get hurt when he hits the ground. But I couldn't get to him. My feet were planted where they were. Threw him in the back of an El Camino, me and the farmer. We were running 110 to the hospital. We passed Mennonites going to the hospital. And I remember them Mennonites reaching out to us, praise the Lord. After all this, we got to the hospital. They had him on the bed. They throwed the shockers on him. He came a foot and a half or 2 foot off that bed every time they shocked him. I was crying my eyes out. I deserved judgment just like he deserved judgment. And God had mercy on me. He didn't make it. I don't believe I'm scaring somebody into salvation, but brothers and sisters, it says here, Belshazzar's loins were loosed and his knees knocked together. If you got sin in your heart, you ought to be shaking in your shoes. You ought to be scared to death. Your heart ought to be pounding. You ought to have goosebumps. You ought to have chills going up and down your back. Because there will be no chills in hell. It's hot. It says you are weighed in the balance. If there's sin there, it will put you in hell. God weighs you. You are found wanting if there's sin there. Ecclesiastes 12 says, God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing unconfessed. One sin will take you where you don't want to go. What would you change tonight if tonight was your last night? Brothers and sisters, it might be. I never knew it was my brother's last night. Last day. The Bible says the harvest is ripe. The sickle will be thrust in. The sickle is sharp. It's going to cut to the heart. It will find your sin. Today is the day of salvation. Eternity is a long, long time. Today is your opportunity. If the Christian life was easy, everybody would go to heaven. Broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Straight and narrow is the way that leadeth to life. And few be that find it. Do you go through the narrow way? And then you skirt to the broad way. It happens. It takes work, brothers and sisters. It takes diligence. It takes submission to do it God's way. And it's only by the blood of Jesus Christ. There is no other way. Send your sins before you by repenting today. I have an older brother. Living up life. And when I became a Christian, he would throw my youth in front of my face. And I'm not proud of my youth, young people. Don't go there. There's not a freedom there. He would say, look at you. Look how you were when you were young. You know what I'd say? I'm not proud of that, but you know what? My sins are at the foot of the cross. They're there. Yours are following you, and they're going to catch you when you get there. Brothers and sisters, when you repent, your sins go before you. First Timothy says, some men's sins are open beforehand, going before judgment. And some men follow after. Brothers and sisters, this is serious business. That's the difference of repentance. Mine are already there. My sins are there. Romans 8:1, there is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. God has declared pardon for guilty sinners by Jesus Christ, if you will accept it. Are you there tonight? You make the choice of your destination. If you're born again, yes, you're going to struggle, but you will be a changed man. You will be a new creature. When you fall, when you fail, you're going to hate it. You're going to hate it, and say, I'm not going to do it again. That's the life of a Christian. Hate sin. Grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. A lukewarm is going to hell, the Bible says. I'm not the judge. The Bible's the judge. Revelation 20:15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I plead with you, is your name written there? About a year after I was married, I had a dream, and this is nothing but a dream. But it was real to me. And I believe God allowed it to me, but it is nothing but a dream. My brother's name was J.P. We called him J.P. with John Paul. I saw him in hell, and he was burning. And he said, "You don't want to come here." It was real to me. God is holy. He can't tolerate sin. He didn't make hell for you, but he has no other choice when you don't accept him. May the realities of hell and the glories of heaven always be a powerful incentive to keep us on the right path. It is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. Bow our heads for prayer.